Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Hey, good morning. It is 9:26 here on the People Speak, and I'm Jeff, your host. And today we're talking with Illinois Senator Paul Shimpf. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you having me on.
Wasn't real busy, but it has been here just recently.
Well, there's a few really big news items to talk about. Last week, the governor's mask mandate rule that requires retailers to enforce his mask mandate, that made it through JCAR without getting set aside. So we'll have that to talk about. I'm on the Joint Committee for Administrative Rules. That's what JCAR stands for. So we'll have that to talk about. And then today is Tuesday, August 18th, and today is the first day that new COVID restrictions have been kind of reapplied to Region 4, which is seven counties in the Metro East. That includes Randolph County, Monroe, St. Clair, Madison. Then you have Bond, Clinton, and Washington as well. So those are the seven counties that make up Region 4. And starting today, there are what the Pritzker administration is calling COVID-19 mitigation actions. These are, you know, measures that have been imposed to try to slow the spread of COVID-19. So we'll have that to talk about. I'm not very happy about that situation. That's one of the, you know, I try to leave the governor alone. He is a busy man. He doesn't have time to be taking phone calls from all the state senators and state representatives on a constant basis. So I don't call him very often, but I called him yesterday morning asking him to pull back, you know, these COVID sanctions that he was applying to our region. And I wasn't successful on that front, but, you know, that's something that be happy to talk about as well.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what, we'll take a break and we will come back and we'll dive into the topics. You're listening to the People Speak here on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. And welcome back. 9:35. You're listening to the People Speak. And again, today we're talking with Illinois Senator Paul Shimpf. And well, I guess we can go ahead and start off with the governor's latest mitigation, as he said he calls it, plan here.
He calls it a mitigation plan. I call it sanctions. But I found out about that on Sunday afternoon. I had about 20 minutes extra notice over what the general public had. So this wasn't something that was really laid out and coordinated with local leaders. And what the Pritzker administration announced was that beginning today, because Region 4, which is the seven counties, Monroe, St. Clair, Madison, Bond, Clinton, Washington, and Randolph, because those seven counties have had 3 days of a positivity rate of over 8.5%, and I'll explain what that is in a minute. But because our positivity rate was over 8.5% for 3 days, he was imposing mitigation measures, which the theory was that was going to be necessary to once again slow the spread of COVID-19 in our area. Now, these mitigation measures that are in effect today are that really kind of the biggest one is for any retail establishment, your occupancy is down to whichever is the lowest, either 25% of your, of, you know, whatever your capacity is, or 25 people, whichever is lower. That's all you can. That's all you can have for you know, any type of a business or a retail establishment. All the reception halls are closed. You know, and this is for the next 14 days. So a lot of people have had to reschedule. You know, if you had a wedding scheduled, you know, in a reception hall in this region, the governor is mandating that reception hall is closed. And then the governor also said, you know, when it comes to bars, you know, this order said that bar stools are bad. You know, somehow you're not allowed to have bar stools where people are sitting at the bar. Now, the order doesn't say anything about tall tables and tall chairs. And regular tables and chairs are okay, but they have to be 6 feet apart, and you can't have any group larger than six people. Mm-hmm. But to me, the thing that really, you know, that really I thought was the most problematic was, you know, limiting any type of meeting to 25 people or less, or 25% capacity, and then the closing of the reception halls. You know, the other stuff is just you know, hoops that businesses are going to have to go through. But my frustration is leadership is a two-way street. You know, you have to be, as a leader, you have to be willing to try to understand and empathize and also listen to your constituents. And the amount of frustration, anger, and despair that I'm hearing over this is at a level I haven't seen before. People are just very frustrated in the region. And one of the reasons that I'm frustrated is this decision has been based on the metric of the positivity rate, which to me is probably the least informative of the metrics that we're tracking with the COVID-19 pandemic. The positivity rate doesn't mean that 8.5 people in our region are positive with COVID-19. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that. What it means is, of all the people that are tested, of all the tests that are administered, 8.5% are coming back positive. But that rate is going to depend on the people that you're testing. If you are testing a healthy population where you have people who aren't sick that are going in and taking the test just because they're curious about whether they have it or been exposed to it, you're going to have a positivity rate that is much lower than if you have a group of people taking the test, but they're all deathly ill. You know, their positivity rate is going to be higher. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things can affect it, like where the tests are administered at. You know, for instance, the big testing facility in Region 4 is in East St. Louis. You know, that's our drive-through facility. Well, come on, I think all of us know that you're not going to take a trip to East St. Louis unless you're pretty sick, unless you're feeling like you're at death's doorstep. You know, so for the governor to impose these sanctions based on positivity rate, to me, is just something that I strongly disagree with, because the key metric in this pandemic is not positivity rate, it's hospitalization numbers. How many patients are being hospitalized for COVID-19? And for the past 40 days, our hospitalization numbers in the region have been flat. They have not increased. You know, while the positivity rate has gone up very gradually, it started at like 4, and it's creeped up now to over 8. That's been happening over the past 40 days. But during those 40 days, there has not been an increase in our hospitalization numbers. Our hospitalization numbers are flat. And I would argue that when we opened back up, it was only natural that our numbers would have gone up in terms of you know, the testing numbers, you know, because, you know, what did the governor think was going to happen? You know, this disease, if we had stayed shut down for 10 years, it would still be waiting for us. This is something that when epidemiologists briefed me at the very beginning of this pandemic, they said, all we can do is try to slow this down. We cannot stop it from spreading. You know, eventually 80 to 90% of us are going to be exposed to this, not necessarily have it, but exposed. So I strongly disagree with the governor's decision to impose these measures. And I will say, though, if the hospitalization numbers had been rising, my reaction would be very different. You know, I'd have a very, very different reaction if we had an increase in COVID-19 hospitalizations in our region, but we don't. We absolutely do not. Right. So I'm frustrated that, you know, we've had these new measures put in place, and they're going to be in place for at least 14 days. And then it depends on what our, you know, what is happening with our positivity rate.
Yeah, 14 days, it doesn't sound like a lot, but to a business that's already been hit economically by the previous shutdown, 14 days with reduced or no.
It is a huge challenge for a lot of these businesses. Now, I did, as I mentioned at the beginning of our discussion, I did call the governor about this yesterday morning. I had a significant conversation with him, and I give him credit for being willing to hear me out. I mean, we had a pretty thorough discussion on this. The one thing that I asked him about, and he made absolutely clear, was these measures do not apply to schools, and they do not apply to churches. You know, a lot of people were concerned when you were talking about, gatherings and occupancy that might impact schools. I asked him that point blank, and he clarified, no, this does not affect schools at all. This does not affect churches, places of worship. You know, I think they're trying to limit it to the retail businesses.
Okay. All right, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take another break here, and we will come back and talk some more with Senator Shemp here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back. It is 9:51. Got a little bit of time left in the program today, talking again with Senator Shemp, and we're talking about the latest measures by the governor, reportedly for the due to the increase in COVID right in the area. But
well, and the other thing that people are upset about is the new mask rule that was put into place. Two Fridays ago, this was an emergency rule. The Illinois Department of Public Health filed this in the Illinois Register. So this is, this is an administrative rule. It survived review by JCAR a week ago today. So JCAR is something, I hesitate to try to explain it because it's a complicated beast. I'll try to give it really, I'll try to do it really quickly here now. JCAR stands for the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules, and it's intended to be a kind of a check and a balance against the administrative agencies to make sure that they are complying with the Illinois Administrative Procedures Act and statutory intent. Because when we pass a statute and the governor signs it, it's up to the administrative agencies to turn the language of that statute into administrative rules that everybody has to follow. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about it on the show before. You know, I've talked about the gun dealer licensing regulations, how the state police had to apply that law. Well, anyway, the governor had the Illinois Department of Public Health file his mask mandate rule. And then when JCAR reviewed it last Tuesday, it survived review because the presumption in JCAR is that all these regulations are good to go. That's kind of the default setting. The starting presumption is that they are okay. They comply with law. But if 8 of the 12 members on JCAR decide that the regulation doesn't comply with the Illinois administrative procedures or existing statutory law, we can vote to suspend it or basically toss the rule out. Mm-hmm. So last Tuesday, the Republicans made a motion to suspend Governor Pritzker's mask rule. And we had all six Republicans voted to set this rule aside. But the Democrats wouldn't vote with us, so we didn't have the 8 votes that we needed to set this rule aside. And I voted to set it aside, and the reason that I did was because Governor Pritzker's mask rule didn't comply with existing statutory provisions. The Illinois Department of Public Health Act has a means in place that the Department of Public Health is supposed to use to enforce whatever provisions or regulations they put forth. And Governor Pritzker's rule didn't utilize that method. So it didn't comply with statute. In fact, it was, you know, it had some, that rule had stuff in it that was contrary to existing statutory provisions. So that's why I voted against the rule on JCAR. And just kind of as a public policy thing, I believe in wearing a mask. I've worn a mask in retail stores since you know, well before the governor was asking people to do that. Mm-hmm. But the reason I don't think a mask mandate, you know, makes sense is when you talk about the people that refuse to wear a mask, you know, telling them, okay, well, now you have to do it, you know, otherwise the businesses are going to get punished. That's not going to make people wear masks. Right. You know, if anything, that's just going to cause people to dig their heels in a little bit harder. So that's kind of what happened at JCAR, and that's a little bit of an explanation for how that process works.
Right. In fact, I think the mask issue is a little bit of what the governor kind of got into something with Mr. Bailey over the lawsuit a while back on that.
Well, that was, you know, the mask issue. You know, one of the things that was that has been frustrating for me is, you know, the governor has wanted to just keep doing, you know, indefinite duration executive orders. And the statute says, well, if you issue an executive order, it only lasts for 30 days. And the question is, you know, does the governor only get one 30-day executive order, or can he issue subsequent orders, you know, ongoing orders, okay, where he says, all right, there was a disaster. Well, the disaster is still present, so I'm issuing a second executive order. That's the subject of the lawsuit. And what is frustrating is the Illinois General Assembly could have very easily cleared up that ambiguity. One of the topics that I'm just very frustrated about right now is I think we need to have the Illinois General Assembly go back into session. There are just some urgent topics that need our attention right now that cannot wait until mid-November, which is when we're scheduled to go back. I think we need to take up some ethics reform in light of all the corruption that is in this state. I think that we should be taking up measures to see if we can give our schools some liability protection and make things easier on our local superintendents and school boards. We certainly need to have some oversight on the COVID-19 pandemic response. You know, if you look at the death rate in Illinois, our COVID-19 death rate is significantly higher than any of our neighboring states. You know, I think we should be asking the question, why is that? You know, because, you know, we had much more restrictive measures put into place, but yet our death rate is still higher. You know, is it because we lost so many people in nursing homes and assisted living facilities? Could we have done something better to protect them? You know, those are the questions that need to be asked. And if we had a responsible government in Illinois, you know, we would be in session asking those questions. So I'm very frustrated that we, you know, that the governor has refused to call a special session.
Well, plus the fact I see your representatives and senators are elected by the people in the area where they're from. They're out among these people. They know what the people, you know, what they're seeing, what they're hearing, and that, whereas the governor is one person.
And when your elected officials don't have a chance to go into session, ask questions, voice, you know, your concerns, you know, it's us as voters that are having our voices taken away. We need to, you know, if we're going to have a functioning democracy, if we're going to have a truly representative government, we need to have our elected officials have the opportunity to voice our concerns and ask the questions we want to ask. So, you know, I've said this, you know, on several different different radio interviews, but, you know, putting my Marine Corps prosecutor hat back on, you know, I'd classify the executive and the legislative branches of Illinois government as being, you know, guilty of dereliction of duty. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Right. Well, it does look like we're out of time, but Senator, thanks for being with us. I mean, a lot of stuff going on. It just
You're welcome. It's always great talking with you, Jeff. All my best to the and good luck to our school kids that are starting back up again. You know, best of luck to everybody and the parents that are and the teachers and administrators. It's, you know, it's best of luck on a new school year.
Exactly. All right, we'll talk to you again next month.
That sounds great.
For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We'll talk to you tomorrow.